You all have a bulletin there on the back. In the very back panel, there are some scriptures, and I want you to have those available as I speak to you. I'd like for you to have those scriptures at hand because we want to be instructed by the Bible. And we're not here just to remember Charity Chastain, but also to rightly think about God and to think about ourselves and to be informed by God so that we can rightly think about the fact that we all face eternity. As Chuck said a few moments ago, Proverbs 27:1, we don't know that we have tomorrow. We all face eternity, and Charity has now entered that eternity and the same eternity for which we need to be ready. And so when we look at these verses, God wants to answer a question for us, the question of, do we think rightly about Him or do we think wrongly about Him? Do we think rightly about ourselves or do we think wrongly about ourselves? Do we think rightly about eternity or do we think wrongly about eternity, and especially when we think about our own death? And if we know what the Bible says, then we know that we are thinking rightly. If we don't know what the Bible says, then we are not thinking rightly. Jesus himself he was speaking to a group of very religious people, people who were scholarly in their religion. And yet he said to them, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." And the only way we can know what truth is to know what the Bible says. So we want to know what the Bible says about life and death. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, you have in your hand, it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." You see, God doesn't want us to continue on and with our imaginations. Our hearts are perpetual idol factories. If we're left to ourselves, we're always, not sometimes, but always going to get it wrong. So he does not want us to be ignorant. And here's the subject. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. The phrase "fallen asleep" in Scripture is a metaphor for having died. And every person is going to die, but God is going to wake every person who dies up, just as you're going to wake up tomorrow morning from your sleep. God is going to wake you up from your death one day. And then he says, you need to know this, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. You see, there are people who have no assurance of their relationship with God. They have no facts on which to depend. They have nothing to drive their minds and their thinking to Christ. They have a Christ that they have invented rather than the Christ of the Bible. But the Christ of the Bible tells us in the next verses that you have, Matthew 5:24. These are the very words of Jesus. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Now, when Jesus says, "Truly, truly," that's the repeated word. He's repeating this word of, "Listen up, guys, this is big." That's what "truly, truly" means when it's put back to back in the Bible. And he says, this is Jesus talking on his own authority as God the Son. He is speaking to us on this. And he says, "He who hears my word." Now, we weren't there to hear his word. We didn't hear, our eardrums didn't vibrate when Jesus was speaking. So where do we hear his word? We hear his word in the scriptures. We need the Bible, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, to teach us what we're to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. So we hear what Jesus said through the scriptures. And it's not just hear a voice or hear some of these ideas, but we need to hear what the Bible says about Jesus, which is this, that Jesus lived in eternity past. There's never been a time when he was not. He has never not existed. And he did not have a body at one time. And he came into time. He came into space. He came into this world in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he took on flesh. And he grew up as a boy, and he was tempted in every way, but he never sinned in any way. And he lived a perfect life as a man for 33 years. He did not deserve to die, and then he submitted himself to death. And he surrendered so that he could die the death of a cross that he didn't deserve in the place of those of us who have sinned, because we do deserve it. He died. He continued in the grave for 3 days, and then he woke up. In 3 days, he conquered death and walked out of the grave. And he walked among men for 50 more days. And then he ascended into heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is coming again to judge the quick and the dead. That's an old-timey way of saying he's coming to judge the living and the dead. When you believe that, you are hearing his word. You're hearing what he's saying about himself. And you're supposed to believe that. In fact, Jesus commands you to believe those truths. Just any old story won't do. Just any old story won't do. You've got to believe the truth about Jesus in order to come to Him in His way. We believe in Him who sent me, and we have everlasting life. That's life without end. And if we don't have that life, then it says here, Jesus says, if we believe, we're not going to come into judgment. But if we don't believe, we are going to come into judgment. We're going to be judged for what we've done, and God does not grade on a curve. When He judges us, we have to be perfect. Now, you say, but I'm not perfect. I've already sinned. I can testify to that. I resemble that comment myself. I've sinned in every way there is to sin. So how am I going to be perfect in God the Father's eyes on Judgment Day? By the imputation of Christ's righteousness to my account through faith in Him. It's not my faith that saves me, it's Jesus that saves me. So it's not faith in faith, which so many people get wrong. But when I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He was the perfect one, that He came into this world and suffered in my place, when I believe that and want to follow Him, which is what a disciple is, then He credits our accounts with perfect righteousness, not pretty good righteousness, so that when I die, even though I have sinned, I'm going to die because of Jesus without one blemish on my soul. No, not one. And according to Christ, I'm going to be passed from death to life. Now, those who don't believe, the Scripture speaks about that. In fact, in Revelation chapter 6, these words you have in your bulletin. Now, listen to who it addresses here. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You see, that's the question. Doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money you've made, how strong you are, how many armies you command. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters on that day is you're going to be in the presence of the God who created heavens and earth in the space of 6 days and all very good, who has you in His hand to do with as He sees fit. And if you are not a follower of Christ, then He is going to terrify you. And you're going to plead for the mountains to fall on you and the ground to open up and you sink into it to hide you from the face of God. But you see, the good news is, in fact, it's not just good news, it's spectacular news. The spectacular news is that that's not the end of the story. The next verses you have there start, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude. You see, it's a great multitude that God is saving. Not a few people, it's multitudes, which no one could number. The number there is so high that we can't calculate it with our calculators. Of all nations, tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces. Just like the previous people who were going to be damned, they fell on their faces and pled to just hide from God. We're also going to fall on our faces, but not in terror. We're going to fall on our faces in adoration and humbleness and gratefulness for what God has done for us. And salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All angels stood around the throne, and the elders and four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. They're going to declare the worth of God, the greatness of God. They're going to rehearse His attributes. And this passage concludes with these words, amen. Remember, Jesus said, truly, truly, that's the word, amen, amen, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And why would we want that to be to our God? Because our God is the only God who can keep us safe without interruption forever and ever and ever. He's the only one who can conquer death for us. He's the only one who can conquer hell for us. He's the only one who can forgive us and take us to be with Him in His presence forever and ever. Amen. And that is what I believe that Charity Chastain right now would want you to hear and to understand as you stand here this day to honor her and to also hear the words of the Scripture. So if you will, let's bow together and pray, and then I will pronounce a benediction. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word that teaches us the truth about You, teaches us the truth about ourselves, that we need You, teaches us that we face eternity and that facing eternity without You is a terrifying thing. And if we don't belong to You, facing eternity is also a terrifying thing. But thank You that You have given us peace through Christ, promises through Christ, that You have convinced us of our sin and our misery and enlightened our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewed our wills and caused us to embrace Your Son as You offer Him to us in the gospel. For all these things, Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you will please look forward. Don't look down. This is not a prayer. This is a benediction. If you'll look forward and receive God's benediction. May God count you worthy of His calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and work of faith with power, to the end that our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, all to the glory of God the Father. May the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. And may God cause you to believe and to repent so that when you hear His voice, you will come and you will be saved and you will be with Him forever. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed. Oh, come to my house for the reception, please. 53 Crestwood Drive. Everybody come.